We're here the day after Christmas, so thank you very much for being in your places. A lot more full than I expected, so today is all about expecting the unexpected, and so y'all did your part. Well done there. And we're looking forward to a great day today. No evening service today. So here's the deal. When you only get to preach a few times throughout the year, if you go late one time, you get the reputation of being late all the time. So I'll do my part. I'll preach as long as it needs to for us to get our sacrifice Sunday money in, and then we'll be home. Okay, so good deal for that. So we've got sacrifice Sunday today, the last Sunday of the year. And so I do want you to be praying about that. The message will tie in with that as we think about sacrifice throughout the year. But if you're not prepared today, I would ask that you would be in prayer how the Lord would use you on this sacrifice Sunday. And you still got some days to get in before the end of the year if you do want to get everything in before 2021 closes. It's an amazing thing to think about. We've all been through some hard times over the last couple of years for sure. And we are starting to expect the unexpected in some different ways. But today I want to talk about that topic a little bit because there's some ways that we should be expecting. Sometimes it's not always the case, though. You know, sometimes things happen as a surprise. And, you know, it always on the day, the Sunday after Christmas, a nice unexpected surprise for me is it takes me about 15 minutes faster to get ready in the morning because I don't have to look for mismatched socks in the morning. I've always got a new pair ready to go. So I was ready to go first thing this morning. And so thank you all for being in your places as well. Expecting the unexpected. We're here on Sacrifice Sunday. We're in between services. Some of you maybe were a little unsure what you're going to wear today if you still wanted to dress up festive. I see a few of you out there that are that case. Some of you are ready to be done with Christmas and go into the new year. And so it's always kind of weird that Sunday after Christmas what we do. And the pastor asked me to speak on Sacrifice Sunday here as he unexpectedly wanted to spend some time with Candace's grandmother. She'd be in prayer for them as they're traveling. And they'll be back here soon. But we don't have the opportunity for him to be here today. So here I am. And another unexpected thing for you this morning. Unexpected. Things as a surprise. Sometimes those surprises are joyous, though. Maybe it's a Christmas bonus. Maybe it's somebody that you hadn't heard from in a while and it was unexpected for them to call and reach out to you. Maybe it was your kids actually getting along on Christmas Day. Was that unexpected for anybody? No fights or anything? But unfortunately, there is the unexpected that we don't like. And just a few weeks ago, during a refuel service, Pastor talked about what we do and how we handle when things are unexpected in our lives. So one of the reasons why Tabernacle has the ministry cares that we do. Grief Share has been a tremendous blessing for our church and for others involved in it. As we think about maybe losing a loved one, tough times to go through, and we have those resources. Maybe it's a divorce or separation or somebody facing that. And we have divorce care for that. Tremendous ministries that are trying to help people in need. Because that's what Jesus does. He helps people in need. Both of those ministries will be starting back up right after January 1st. It'll be the first Wednesday in January. We'll start those ministries again. Maybe it's a problem with addictions. And we have our recovery program here every Friday night at 7 o'clock. But when we think of addictions, unfortunately, a lot of times we just go to write maybe drugs or alcohol abuse. But unfortunately, in the society in which we live in, the flesh that which we deal with, anything can become an addiction very easily. Very quickly, something can become an idol in our life. And very soon, we can often have some real trouble real quick. However, the unexpected can be noticed. The unexpected can be the norm. The unexpected can and should be expected when it comes to the blessings, to the miracles, to God working in my life and in your life and in the church here at Tabernacle Baptist. We should expect God's power to be working. And so let's look at this topic today of expecting the unexpected. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you have given us to gather. I thank you for your word, how you've preserved it, and through thousands of years, you have still kept it for us to have and to know and to hide in our hearts. Lord, that very promise right there is an unexpected thing to many people, how you have preserved your word. But Lord, it is not an exception to you. It is not a surprise to you. You have all things in your hand. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from you, Lord, and we thank you for it. Thank you for the blessings of Christmas. Thank you for the ultimate gift and the sacrifice you gave by sending your Son to die on the cross for our sins. And as we come before you today, Lord, I just pray that you would use me as your instrument to speak your truth through your word today. Help me not to hinder it in any way, Lord. And please use the Spirit to speak to us in a mighty way as we just praise you for who you are. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we look at expecting and unexpecting, there's some different characters of Christmas that often come to mind. I asked the college class a couple weeks ago to give me some expected Christmas characters. And I'm sure you can think of some very quickly, right? You got baby Jesus, and you've got maybe the wise men you throw in there, and you got the angels, and you got the shepherds. Some of you have Clark Griswold in there. Kevin! You know, the typical standard Christmas characters, you know. But we don't typically think of John the Baptist along with the Christmas story, do we? But yet if you look through the Gospels, all four of them will reference him either before or right after Christ's birth. He was Jesus' cousin, born about the same amount of time, maybe 6 months, somewhere in there, difference in age. And we look at this character of John the Baptist, and he has some unexpected moments just like Jesus. So we're going to look at him a little bit today, because I think a lot of times he's shadowed by the birth of Christ, and rightly so, obviously. But there are some things we can learn from John the Baptist just as much as we can learn from Jesus today through his word. And the first thing I wanted to draw attention to is we read Luke 1. We're going to look at the unexpected announcement, an unexpected announcement. What was so unexpected? Well, we see that from the story that Mary didn't understand what was going on with her situation as the angel Gabriel came to her. But here in the situation with Zacharias, he's kind of in the same boat. He doesn't know what's going on with the angel Gabriel visiting him. How is this so, where Elizabeth is so stricken with age and she's barren? How can this be possible? And there's so many different things and similarities between the two announcements that we see here as an unexpected announcement. Some of the similarities, we won't go into all of them, but just a few as I name them off. In both cases, we mentioned that the angel Gabriel was there. What a great role he has throughout time and history, right? In both cases, Zacharias and Mary were afraid when the angel appeared to them. They were unexpected of this angel that was coming, and they were both afraid. In both instances, the possibility of the message was doubted. We'll look at that a little bit more as we move through the message. In both cases, the names of the children to be born were given by the angel. One, John. One, Emmanuel, Jesus. In both cases, the mission of the children was specified by the angel. John the Baptist will prepare the way for the Lord, whereas Jesus Christ will save their people from their sin. In both cases, the children will be the firstborn. In both cases, the birth of the child would be by divine intervention. In both cases, Mary and Zacharias were given signs to confirm this message. And in something as we are thinking about expecting the unexpected, in both cases, prophecy was confirmed. In John the Baptist case, we can turn to Isaiah 40. It'll be up on the screen and you can turn with me. Isaiah 41 through 5. The Bible says, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, and her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received the Lord's hand double for all of her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. These are the prophecies that God had foretold. It should be expected, but it was unexpected that day to Zacharias when they had Gabriel sitting in front of him. Comfort ye my people. Why? Because for over 400 years from the last prophet spoken to the people of Israel, God had been silent. And now, Messiah is coming, and John the Baptist will prepare ye the way for the Lord. Amazing thing to think about it. An unexpected announcement, but also an unexpected ambassador. Turn with me to Luke chapter 3, just two chapters over. Luke chapter 3. As I said, you can go through the Gospels and you can see John the Baptist there in the early parts of each of those Gospels there with Jesus' birth, even in John chapter 1. But in Luke chapter 3, we'll read a few verses here, 3 through 17. The Bible says, "And he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight.'" That sound familiar? "Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and rough the way shall be made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, 'O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able to these stones to rise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into fire.' And the people asked him, saying, 'What shall we do then?' He answereth and saith unto them, 'He that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none. And he that hath meat, let him do likewise.'" That's going to be important as we think about the further in the message, how right away John the Baptist is speaking to them and teaching them, hey, you have because God has given you. Give to others. Verse 12, "Then came also publicans to be baptized and said unto him, Master, what shall we do? And he said unto them, Exact no more than which he had appointed you. And the soldiers likewise demanded him, saying, And what shall we do? And he said unto them, Do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages." Verse 15, "And as the people were in," what's that next word? "Expectation. And all men mused in their hearts of John, whether he were the Christ or not." The people are expecting. They know somewhat about the prophecy. They know that Messiah will come. And they know that one will come before in the spirit of Elias. But they're not sure yet. They have some knowledge, but they haven't quite the faith to understand, but they are expecting. John answers, saying unto them all, "I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, that latcheth of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and will gather the wheat into the garner, but the chaff he will burn not with a fire unquenchable." And many other things in his exhortation preached he unto the people. And so an unexpected ambassador of John the Baptist is here, and he is teaching whoever will listen that one is coming, one that's greater than he, one that shoes he is not even worthy to unlatch it. John the Baptist, he's a unique one. Turn with me to the book of Mark, chapter 1. Just a few chapters over, Mark chapter 1. And we'll look a little bit more at John the Baptist here. Mark chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. "In the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as is written the prophets, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remissions of sin. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea, and they at Jerusalem were all baptizing him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins. And John was clothed with camel's hair and with a girdle of skin about his loins. And he did eat locusts and wild honey and preached, saying, There cometh one mightier than I after me, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost." So do we have the picture here of John the Baptist? He's in the wilderness. Did you get the description? He's walking around with camel's hair. And he looks maybe kind of like that. Now, this is an artist rendition. You can buy this in Europe for $3,000. I'll take the check for anybody who wants it. How many of you have seen the Chosen series? Okay, a few of you out there. I like the TV portrayal. It's a view of Jesus' life through the eyes of the disciples. I don't agree with all the artists and the writers' liberties, but I think it does get a good perspective. Throughout the movie and TV series, when they talk about John the Baptist, they refer to him as Creepy John. Because here he is out in the wilderness, eating honey and locusts. But I want you to think about this for a minute. This is who God sent to be Christ's ambassador. This is who God sent to prepare ye the way of the Lord. Not just any Lord, not just any king. Prepare the way for the Lord. Because Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And that path was laid by John the Baptist. He's an unexpected ambassador. You see, it was unexpected because when you think about royalty, and even in the days of the Bible, when a king would send an ambassador for his behalf, it was very well known. He had some kind of kingly array. There was no doubt that this person represented the king. There's stories in the Bible that talks about the ring that might have been used. Maybe it's a signet, or maybe it's the stamp or the seal from the king. So that person was acknowledged, he represents me. And then we got him. A little different, right? It's an unexpected ambassador. But for us that are here now, understanding what God's word says about our lives, we are to be Christ's ambassadors now. We are to be making that way. We are to be showing others the love of Christ. And you might say, well, I don't know it all. You might say, I don't know what to do. You might have excuses after excuses. But the bottom line is this. If people can follow John the Baptist, people that follow Jesus Christ with his love and his compassion, it's evident, it's noticeable. They can follow that too. And it's an amazing thing to think about God entrusting us with the gospel of Jesus Christ as John was preparing the way for the Lord. So an unexpected announcement, an unexpected ambassador, but also an unexpected answer. Who was he that was announcing? Who did he want to be unexpected? Well, it's Jesus. He's the one that needs to be expected in our lives. But Jesus didn't come to this earth in an expected way, did he? No royal fanfare for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. A lowly stable, born in a manger, in a little town of Bethlehem. But should that be a surprise to us? Not according to Micah 5:2. Micah 5:2, but thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler of Israel, whose goings forth have been from old and from everlasting. Because Jesus Christ is the same today, now and yesterday. He's the same to come. He's the beginning and the end. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He knows you. He loves you. Everything that was created in this world was made for him and by him for his glory. And he loves you today. And he is the unexpected answer to what we need in this world. It's sad that he's unexpected still after so many thousands of years, but it is the truth. That time there where Jesus was born, the shepherds were afraid. The heavenly host came unto them and said, you'll find that babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. But before they got to that point, they saw him and they were freaked out. They were sore afraid. That just doesn't mean they were a little scared. They were trembling. What is this? What's going on? You know, Carter, he's not here this morning, so I can talk about him. He's on his way back from Virginia, if y'all pray for him. Him and Nan are traveling down. But it was just last week. He likes to try and scare us. You know, thinks he's funny. And so it was last week, we were coming out of the back here, and Nana and I were walking out to the car, and he was hiding behind a corner of the church. Now, he does this to me all the time, so it doesn't even faze me anymore. But he popped out of that corner and said, ah! I think Nana about wet her britches. I mean, she's like, all I did was just push him out of the way. Because I expected it. I wasn't afraid of it. But Nana was a little different. It was unexpected to her. And she was afraid. What happened? You know, sometimes we think about our lives and we think of the unexpected that God might bring, instead of expecting what God wants us to do and then doing it. Having faith to walk through. Having faith to go forth. That unexpected answer is Jesus Christ. He loves you. And He wants you to share in the blessings that He has for you. Jesus, an unexpected answer. Growing up in Nazareth, as the prophets told. But even the disciples would look at each other and say, can anything good come out of Nazareth? It was an unexpected answer. And as he grew, I think about the time where the trip when he was around 12 and Mary and Joseph took him into Jerusalem there to worship. And the convoy that would usually come, it was safer to travel in groups, leave to go back home, and they realize, where's Jesus? He's not here. How many of you have been in that situation before? Try after one or two days, because they're like, oh, he's with him, right? Oh, he's with... No, but nobody's got him. So they trek on back to Jerusalem and look for Jesus. Where is he at? Mary's frightened. Mary's scared. Joseph said, what are you doing? And Jesus says, what? I was in the temple. The priests and the scribes were amazed at his knowledge of how he knew the scriptures at such a young age. It's pretty easy when you write it. What are you doing, Jesus? Do you know what you've put us through? And an unexpected answer. Jesus says, know ye not that I would be about my Father's business? We can think about the life of Christ, and we can think about many more examples of how unexpected that thing might have happened. It was expected from the children of Israel for Messiah to be a military ruler, to be one that would free him from the bondage of the oppression from Rome or anybody else that stood in the way, to make Israel and make the people a great nation again so that others would see them. But Jesus Christ came to this earth not to be a military ruler, but to point people to love and compassion, to point people to the repentance of sin, to turn away from their own sin, to turn away from their own ways, to turn away from the religious system that God had said, you make this about yourselves, and you have lost your love. Instead, he laid down his life on Calvary to die for the sins of mankind. He was born to die. He gave the greatest gift that any of us could ever have. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus died. But unexpected to many, praise the Lord, he rose again. And that living hope that he showed us should be in all of us. He has shown us what we have to look forward to. He has shown us that he has gone to a place and preparing for us a mansion, streets of gold, the place that we can call home with him. But before he left, he gave us an unexpected assignment. And before I get to that, let me ask this question. Why do you think we'd always don't expect God to work? Why don't we expect him to pull through? Why don't we expect him to show up? There's many ways. There's many reasons, I'm sure. But two of the biggest are these. Either a lack of knowledge or a lack of faith. There's more, I'm sure. But if you focus on just those two, it'll give us some perspective. Go back to chapter 1 of Luke, if you would, and let's see that in application here in the passage. Why don't we expect God to work? Luke chapter 1, let's look at the example that Zacharias gave us in verse 18 through 20. He's faced with the angel Gabriel. Gabriel has told him what's going to happen with this unexpected announcement. And verse 18 says, and Zacharias said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? And then he gives a reason, for I am an old man and my wife well stricken in years. Okay. Now, what is the response from Gabriel here? And the angel answering said to him, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God and am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words. There's a lack of faith. He just heard it. He comprehended it as far as the actual words, but he didn't have faith. Whereby shall I know this? I'm an old man and my wife is well stricken with years. In other words, God, my wife's barren. I'm old. You can't do this. And Gabriel says, I can, because God's the one that's going to do it. God's the one that spoke it. God's the one that's going to conceive it. And because of your unbelief, you're going to walk around here dumb until he's born. Congratulations. Now, what's Mary's response? Because it's pretty similar, right? But there is a difference. Verse 34. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come unto thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that the holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath conceived also a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. Verse 37, let's read that together, please. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Here's the difference, I believe, between these two characters. When Zacharias asked the question, he was basically thinking God couldn't do it. There's too many circumstances around it. But when Mary asked, we know that she ponders these things in her heart later, right? She says, how will this be, because I know not a man? There's a reason for it. And oftentimes in our relationship with God, we often say, well, don't question God. I don't think God has any problem answering our questions. I do think he has a problem with how we approach him. Because when we assume that God can't do it or won't do it, then we restrict God. But when we're honest and fervent and truthful in our questions, God, can you show me what's going on here? Can you show me how this is going to work for my good and your glory? Can you help me through this time? I need you. There's a difference. And the angel Gabriel says, this will be because God will do it. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Two main reasons we don't expect: a lack of knowledge or a lack of faith. I don't know what boat you might be in today. I've been in both. But here's what I do know. We should be expecting God to work. We should be expecting him to come again. We should be expecting his blessings. We should be expecting his power to work and work and work through us. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Mark. Well, you all know the Great Commission. Hey, what are we supposed to do? All power is given by me. Go ye therefore and preach, teaching, baptizing in the name of the Holy Father, Son, Ghost. Right? We are to go. But we don't do it by ourselves. That verse starts off with his power. He's the one that does it. He's the one that brings that ability to us. It's not through us. And when we have our expectation of what is to come, we should rejoice. Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Expect his second coming. Expect the rapture. Expect God to do great and mighty things. You don't understand, Pastor Kevin. You don't understand my circumstances. You don't know what's going on. I don't. God does. You don't know what the problems, you don't know the sickness, you don't know the pain. I don't. God does. You don't know the financial burdens. You don't know the hardships. I don't. God does. And He has the power to work through those things. It may be unexpected to you. It may be something you don't want to go through. But it doesn't surprise Him one bit. Amen. And expect Him to show up. Amen. Expect Him to work in those situations. This world doesn't expect Jesus Christ. But we should. This world doesn't expect Jesus to come again. Are you ready? Are you listening to what the world is saying? Because God's saying, I'm still here. There's still work to do. I came to seek and to save that which was lost. So I expect you to do your part. I expect my power to work through you to show others the love of Christ. Do you expect it? Jesus says, with man you can do nothing, but with all things are possible through Him. Expect it. Turn with me to Acts chapter 20, one of our last passages we'll look through. We're winding down here. Acts chapter 20. I pointed out in the passage there that John the Baptist was talking to others that were listening to him what to do with their extra coats and with the things they had no need of and to help others. Because when Jesus Christ came and when He ascended back into heaven, giving us that great commission, He told us to go into all the world. And Paul gives us a great example here in the book of Acts chapter 20, verse 35. Paul is speaking to the elders at the Ephesian church. And he's given some examples of what's going on within the church. And verse 35 says, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus. We've all come through Christmas here now. I'm sure this term was heard once or twice this past week. It is more blessed to give than to receive. How many of you knew Jesus said that? We don't see it in the Gospels, but here we have the account from Paul as the disciples have talked about some of the other teachings that Jesus has given. It is more blessed to give than receive. Paul says, I've showed you all things that my laboring was to support the weak. How? How are people weak? They're weak emotionally. They're weak financially. Maybe they're weak physically. Paul says, I've showed you how to labor unto all of them because it's better to give, it's better to be blessing than to receive. As you think about those words, Paul says, remember Jesus Christ. Remember that when you labor, you're supporting the weak. There's things to be done. Why? Because when Jesus came to this earth, He came to seek and to save that which was lost. There was a purpose, right? And He's given us that commission to do the same. It's more blessed to give than to receive. So what should we expect? Expect His coming, for sure. Expect His power to work in situations, absolutely. Expect His blessings, yes. But it's going to cost you something. You have to accept and you have to expect sacrifice in your life. You should expect it. It should not be unexpected. Paul says, Jesus told us it is more blessed to give than to receive. We are to labor to the weak emotionally, the weak spiritually, the weak financially, the weak in general. We are strong because of the power that we have in Christ. Let's show others. Because the only reason you have anything to give, the only reason why I have anything to give is because God already gave it to me. And the very fact that we have the ability and the opportunity to share with others should be a blessing to us. It's Sacrifice Sunday. January 9th, just a week or so, it's going to be Vision Sunday. We're going to have our ministry fair on January 9th. Pastor Score is going to share with us the vision theme for 2022. Are you ready for 2022? Expect sacrifice. We've talked about this very briefly, and again, I said, maybe you're not prepared today. There's still time if you want to try and get it in before the end of the year. But Pastor shared a burden. We need to get busy about serving the Lord, even more than we're doing. You say, Pastor Kevin, we're already doing so much. Absolutely. Absolutely. But there's always more we can do. There's always a soul that needs to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. We passed out 3,500 invites for our Christmas program at the Wilson Christmas Parade. Did you guys see fruit from that? Absolutely. Over 300 attendance each night for our program. There was people saved, praise the Lord. There's visitors in here today. Maybe they've heard because of an invite from others. Maybe they just heard of what Tabernacle's doing. Hey, the only thing Tabernacle's doing is what God wants us to do. Amen. So share the gospel, share the opportunity, share the love of Christ with others. It's going to take sacrifice. Say, Brother Kevin, I see some gold coins up there. If you've got some gold coins, we'll take those too. Well, this is what we're looking. Pastor wants to see this community come to Christ. And I pray that's all of our prayers. We need resources to do it. When he first announced it, $60,000 came in immediately for the purchase of new vans. We need another $60,000 to get us to the point to finish off the purchase of two brand new transit vehicles. That'll give us the opportunity to start our bus ministry. Because we should be expecting God to move. Here's some things that God has already put in place. The $60,000 I talked about already. We need to get the other $60,000 in. You can help today. If you put that in the offering plate, put Sacrifice Sunday. Throughout, whatever you want to do it, for here on out, put Sacrifice Sunday so we know that's where it's going to. But expect to be busy about God's work this year. Amen. Ministry fair is January 9th. I encourage you, get involved in something. It doesn't matter if you don't think you're talented enough or good enough. John the Baptist looked like a creep. You can be his ambassador. You've been called to be his ambassador. Let's be busy about God's business just like Christ was. You can also expect another staff member. Jeremiah got engaged and she said yes. So expect more adventures together. Jeremiah will be coming on as our children's pastor. It won't be January. He's gotten pushed back to March because of his school. But we're going to hit the ground running. And we would love to have those two vans ready to go and set up so he can start that Sunday night bus ministry. And we can fill this place with even more kids than we already got. Kids are a blessing. And when you get the kids, it'll lead back to home. Tabernacle, we got a lot to offer because we got a lot of love, a lot of grace, a lot of mercy, and a lot of power through the Holy Spirit of our Lord. And when we all work together and we all sacrifice with our time, our talents, our treasure, we can expect the unexpected because God wants to do a work in you. He wants to do a work in me. He wants to do a work in Wilson. He wants to do a work around the world because he's asked us and commanded us to go. Teach all nations. Show others the love of Christ. Show others why I came to this earth. We just celebrated it. Now let's put it into practice as we expect the unexpected this year in 2022.